Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hey there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. I am so delighted to have you back with us, and I'm so delighted today to have back with me a guest who was with me just recently, and there's so much of the story to tell. We're going to have to do at least another or two or three of these interviews. My special guest today in the studio is my new friend, Cornell Meek. Hi, Cornell, and Hi. Welcome. So glad you're here.
Nice to see you.
It's good to have you back. We decided last time that this story is so huge. You've got so much to tell. And by the way, you do it so well.
Thank you.
That I wanted to have you back again. For those of you who have no clue what I'm talking about, today my guest is Cornell Meek. He's a former Romanian, now a citizen of the United States. He grew up in Romania. He suffered under the heavy hand of the dictator Ceausescu. He did suffer for the cause of Christ. And the last time he was here, he talked a little bit about his life, how he got to this country. And so, folks, if you are unfamiliar with that interview or didn't hear it, I would encourage you to zip over to the Epiclesis website. That's epiclesis.org, E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. Look under podcasts and you can find that first interview with Cornell Meek. You can also find all about Epiclesis, the church, because we'd love to have you come worship with us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 on the corner of Winding Way and Pasadena in Carmichael. Cornell, last time you were here, you told us about growing up in Romania and the times that you smuggled Bibles and Christian literature. You talked about your time in the prison system, the incredible way that you got to this country. And we decided that at least one of the things we wanted to do this time was talk about how all of this got started. And you have a remarkable story because you have a friend who will also be known to a number of people.
First of all, thank you for having me again. I like to mention that the way the Communist Party started in Romania in 1921, they started only with lies. And this was proven later.
Built on lies.
Built on lies. And this party, they started with their name, Communist Party. By then, they realized they have to change their names because people didn't like it. They're under Soviet supervision, Right. Everything they did. Mm-hmm. All their leaders, they had to go to Moscow to be educated, to be trained, to become leaders, to run the Communist Party in Romania. So the Communist Party changed their names, and they had three or four names. And even when they had the election, 1946, which was, by the way, was delayed about almost a year, in order to make sure they are going to have their agents in every single polling place.
Yeah, and control the polling places.
To control everything.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they ran, actually, like I said, as a party, they ran under a different name. It was called Labor Party. And believe it or not, one of the names before they had was a Democratic Party.
Right.
Watch out, America.
Right.
So I have a good friend of mine, Richard Wurmbrand.
And folks, we need to make sure you're understanding the name. It's Richard Wurmbrand, who is the founder of The Voice of the Martyrs and about whom the movie Tortured for Christ was made. And Cornell, you're saying that he was a friend of yours.
Yes, I knew him personal because he came here in Sacramento many times. So we listened to his preaching. And by the way, this man of God, when he went up to preach, he always will take his shoes off.
You said that he was a gentle fellow, but his words were just
very powerful.
Yeah, very powerful.
Let me tell you a few things about
this man. because part of his story is kind of how things got started in Romania too, yes?
Exactly. So he was born in 1909 in Romania, but in a Jewish family. He was born in Bucharest. His father was a dentist. But the financial problems which are in Romania, he moved with his family. He was the youngest in his family. His father, the dentist, and the whole family moved in Istanbul.
Oh.
And they lived there and he had a dental office in Istanbul.
Wow.
after a few years spent there, his father died. Then the family is forced to return back to Romania. He was 9 years old when they went into Istanbul. He came back when he was 15. And he heard about the Communist Party was just starting in 1921.
Right.
As a young man, he was attracted by the ideology of the Communist Party.
Okay.
And he joined the Communist Party. Even he went so far that he went into Moscow to receive a correct education in order to become a leader of Communist Party in Romania.
Which we should say, at this point, is not yet in control of the government.
Correct.
Okay.
Was monarchy at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he went in Moscow. He came back after he studied for 2 years there. He got in a country illegal because the authority at the time, they are looking for these communists to put them in prison.
So he sneaks back into the country.
He sneaks back in the country, but he was found anyway and put into prison. It's called Doftana. If any Romanians listen to me, you know what Doftana means.
One of the most infamous prisons.
And he spent there some time and he got tuberculosis. But the communists were able somehow to pull him out from the prison and send him into a different county in north part of the Romania with different identity in order to be a community organizer there and to organize the Communist Party to be their agent, to be their leader in that county.
Okay, so he becomes their man in that county.
Specific county.
Okay.
He liked that. But God is working in his life. So there's a time to recover from that tuberculosis, and he lives in Brasov, a very beautiful mountain city in Romania. He spent some time into a house of a carpenter. And this guy is Christian and his wife. And they have a Bible, and they give him this Bible.
Wow.
So this guy starts reading the Bible, and the Bible is touching his heart. In 1936, he gets married with Sabrina, his wife. She was Jewish of origin also. She was well-educated. She studied in France, and she came back in Romania, and they got married. And together, they became Christians. Eventually, he realized that the Communist Party are just lies, and he doesn't want to work with them anymore. Now he made enemies.
Right.
And in the meantime, he becomes a Lutheran pastor. He has his own church. But after the war, there are two parties which are running for the government. But after the communists, which are running as Labor Party, mm-hmm. not as communists, because they hide their identity, they win and they are in power.
Illegally.
Illegally, because...
Against the peasant party.
Yeah, against the peasant party, exactly. They delayed in order to have enough of their agents in all the polling places in order to... falsified the results of the election, and they succeed. And surprisingly, they got 80% of the vote.
Yeah, I'll bet they did. And but so they come to power.
They come to power, and now they give a new law. There's a law for religion freedom. The existing law from 1928 guaranteed freedom of religion to 60 denominations. But the Communist Party, which is in power now in 1948, they give there's a new law of religions. And they give freedom of religion only for 14 of these denominations.
Ah, more freedom.
Yes, from 60 to 14.
So we come to the year 1948, and there's going to be a conference that the communists put together. Let's get to that part of the story next. But first, let me remind folks that you are listening to a wonderful guest of mine today, Cornel Mich, on this edition of Ancient Future Faith. He's from Sacramento. He lives here locally. He is an elder and a teacher in his church, and he's my new friend, I'm glad to say. Cornel grew up in Romania and is talking with us today about how things went so badly.
So in 1948, all the leaders from these 14 denominations, religion denominations, are invited to a conference. The Communist Party wants to get their support because if they knew if they get their support, they're going to get the support of all these congregations. And at that conference, all the pastors, especially the priests, the Orthodox priests, they glorify the Communist Party. How the good things, all the things are going to be better. The laborers, they all have jobs. Not only that, the big factory will be taken from their owners and everybody will own a piece of that factory. Not only that, the peasants, they are going to receive land. The ones who never had land, they are going to receive lands.
And we'll take care of the widows and the orphans.
They'll take care of, you know, they have a health system and they'll have free education for everybody and so forth.
Oh, people, are you listening to this?
But nothing is free.
No.
So at that conference...
By the way, in my mind's eye, I see one of those old Soviet or North Korean conferences where everybody in the audience is just clap, 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 clapping for the leader.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened there too. So everybody is for the Communist Party to support them. But Wilbrand and his wife were present. They're invited also.
Yes, because he was a pastor.
He was a pastor, Lutheran pastor, and well-known, a very good preacher. By the way, he has so many books, what he wrote when he was in prison and all of that. But later the prison. To get into the prison, a few words only, what he said. His wife said, "Richard, you have to say something." And he said, "Well, Sabrina, if I'm going to say something, you're not going to have a husband anymore." And she said, "Richard, get up and say something." And he went up and he got up and said, "You know, we're gathered here, brothers and sisters," because he's addressing to Christians. "We're gathered here for a reason, to glorify an organization, a human organization, the Communist Party. From what I taught in a seminary is that our job is to glorify Jesus Christ only." And wow. He sat down. And there are two stories how he was arrested. Some people are saying that he was arrested right when he got out from the building, was arrested and put in prison. Mm-hmm. Others, they are saying in only 1949, he was arrested on a Sunday morning when he went to church. He was taken and he was arrested and put in prison and spent until 1954, then was released and again was put in prison in 1959 until 1966, when he was released by the government because... under the pressure of Americans, a group of people from America paid $10,000 ransom to get him out from the prison and to get him out from the country.
Now, Cornell, you said that he spent quite a number of years in prison.
14 altogether.
Yeah, and remember, folks, that this is Richard Wurmbrand, whose story was made into a movie called Tortured for Christ, someone who he's passed away now, known to my guest, Cornell Meek. Cornell, you said that he underwent all kinds of torture, both physical and mental. Tell the story about the audio torture that he underwent and instead what he did with his mind during those years of being a dissident that was in incarceration.
The communists, they have a very sophisticated technique how to brainwash people. When somebody is put in prison, they take them to be re-educated. That's the terminology they use. And for 17 hours a day, he'll listen on a recording, "Communism is good. Communism is good. Communism is good. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Give up. Give up. Give up." But he didn't lose his mind.
Wow.
And the way he kept his mind fresh was trying to think about the verses from the Bible. He prepared sermons over there. No books, no paper, nothing, just in his memory. He prepared sermons, and he wrote a bunch of them. There are at least 100 which are written. There's a book about this. And he not only wrote in his mind all these sermons, he preached all these sermons to the walls. But once in a while, when he had a chance to be with common with the rest of the prisoners in a prison. They put together in a large room or something. It was not in isolation all the time. He will preach to them.
Wow.
And there are others, other Christians, which are in the same time with him. And the other famous priests, which didn't conform with the Communist Party, they're all together. Believe it or not, they had Lord's Supper over there in a prison.
Wow.
Without the elements, but they had the Lord's Supper.
Wow.
That's how faithful they are to Christ.
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe another time we'll tell you about a story about somebody which composed so many songs in prison.
Yeah. Now, you said that he subsequently left the country. Of course, he also founded Voice of the Martyrs. You've heard him speak and so on. He's been at your church, I guess, at least once or more.
More.
And tell me now, as we switch our attention to what it was like, especially for you and the church in general, living under communism. Before we do that, though, let me remind folks that you're listening to Ancient Future Faith. It's a program and a ministry from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Future Faith Christian Church in Sacramento. I'm Chris Alford, the pastor of the church. Today, my extremely special guest is Cornel Mich, my new friend, who grew up in Romania and knows what it is to be a dissident for the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked a little bit before we started recording, Cornel, about what it was like in general living under the communist regime of Ceausescu as a church. And I'm particularly fascinated by how the state, how the government wanted to keep its fingers in and its eyes on the church. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, I like to mention one more thing about Wulbrand, what he did in prison. Mm-hmm. When he had a chance, he will speak even to the guardians and the people in charge. And believe it or not, one colonel became Christian because Wulbrand talked to him over there in prison.
Wow.
One nice thing what Wulbrand did when he came here in the United States in 1966, somehow he got to the Congress in 1968.
Oh, yes, yes. Please tell that story. Before Congress in Washington.
He's trying to tell the situation, which is what's happening in communist countries, not only in Romania, it's everywhere, and the persecution of the Christians. And the Congress, especially the Democrat side, they didn't believe him. They said it's impossible. Those countries, they have laws. They have freedom of religion. It's impossible. What you're telling us is just stories. And then he didn't have other choice. He had to prove somehow. So he got up and took his shirt out, turned his back towards to everybody, and everybody saw his 18 stripes on his back.
Wow.
Now, fast forward a little bit. So after that, you know, the Congress, everybody was silent at that time. Can you imagine? And he got the support. And that way, in 1968, he started this Voice of Martyrs, which even today, this organization, it's helping so many people all around the world.
Sure.
And us, Romania, we benefited so much because of this brother in Christ, which was a good leader. And he talked about what's happening in communist country. When he got back in 1990 or so, he went back after the revolution in Romania, after the communists failed in December 22, 1989. Mm-hmm. After that, he went back in Romania, and he did an amazing, amazing thing. He visited back Romania, and he went to the cemetery and found out where are some of the people who tortured him are buried. And he went and bought flowers and put flowers on the graves of those people which tortured him. That kind of man was this guy.
Wow. Well, you said a minute ago, and in some ways folks were right to say, hey, Romania has freedom of religion in their laws, and they did. But you said to me earlier, there's freedom in Romania then, but it was just according to the length of the chain. What kind of ways did the government keep eyes on and fingers in the church, even though, quote, there was freedom of religion?
The communism was founded on, they are atheists. They want the religion to disappear, and they couldn't do just right away. There was a law, there's a freedom of religion, but they could not stop people to go to church because they had churches. They stopped them not to build new churches. And I have many examples how churches are demolished and what kind of problem they have. They didn't want, especially the young people, they didn't want any young people to be baptized and to become Christians. Their brainwashing school, they took over all the schools. And I remember every single book I had from kindergarten until I finished my college education, every single book. And the first page was a picture of Nicolae Ceausescu, the cult of personality of this guy.
Right.
So when this guy, it's so big ego, there's no place for Christ anymore.
Right.
So that's why they wanted to limit. They could not completely shut down the Christianity in Romania, but they want to limit. And the way to limit is you cannot do baptism, or if you do, you can be fined and big fines, or you could lose your statue. Like I have examples of even a pastor from our church.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
His name is Krishan. He's retired now. When he was in college, because he was baptized Monday, the university called him and said, you're out of school. So many young people lost they could not continue their education, because the communists want to keep control. They don't want young people to become Christian. It's okay to be the elderly and the, but not the young people. The young people to be at least.
It must have frightened them.
Yes.
Now, you said there were government minders or reporters who were responsible for churches in their particular districts, and they would try to get the names of those, right, who had been baptized or other similar situations, associations with the church?
They had a very sophisticated system. They had the Department of Inspectors for Religion to control what's happening in religion.
So there was a Department of Religion.
Department of Religion for the whole country, and they had inspectors in every county, and they had sub-inspectors. So everybody had a number of churches. One of these inspectors have a number of churches to watch out what's happening, who comes there, who is preaching, what is preaching. And they tried to have people from the church to tell what's happening.
Internal spies.
Internal spies. Yes. But many people, they say, no, we're not going to spy. Maybe here and there were some people which spied, and we hear all kinds of stories about that. But majority of Christians and churches, they didn't want to spy for them. But they had the right to come, and they sometimes they did. They come and sit on the last pew and watch what's happening.
And were they called inspectors? Is that the name?
Yeah, they're called inspectors.
How easygoing that sounds. That sounds rational and reasonable, doesn't it? We'll just have an inspector. What were they ostensibly there to inspect? Did everybody know why they were there?
Yeah.
Was it fairly well known what they represented and what they would
at
do?
At first, they all come and hide themselves, but after that, they even didn't hide anymore.
Yeah.
They just came and to see what's happening and to report to their superiors what's happening in the church. Many of these inspectors, some of them, they are more aggressive than others.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones which are more aggressive, they'll impose, even though there is a law of freedom of religion, they'll impose their idea, you cannot have baptism, or you have to give us the list of people which will be baptized. Why do you need to give a list to the government who is going to be baptized? Because they want to have control of everything. So like you mentioned that we had freedom, but the freedom was as long as the chain was.
Cornel Mich, this is a fascinating story. And sadly, I'm going to bet it's one that not a lot of people know. I particularly despair that our young people do not know history, their own, much less somebody else's. And one of these days when we have you back for another interview, and I hope you will, yes?
I hope so.
Okay, good. I'd like to talk about the difficult subject of, can this happen in the United States? I'm going to bet that you say the answer is, yeah, we need to be careful.
Watch out.
Yeah. Cornel, thanks again. Folks, until next time when we gather for another edition of Ancient Future Faith, I'd like for you to be thinking about this, would you? There's a lot to learn from our Christian past and our Christian heritage, and we would be wise to do that. We would be wise to see how the Holy Spirit has moved in the lives of our Christian forebearers before us and learn from them. Because surely the road to our Christian future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi folks, it's Pastor Chris with one more word before we sign off. The long season after Pentecost is the perfect time to experience worship at Epiclesis, or maybe jump into a small group. There's always something happening at Epiclesis, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. Think about joining us for worship this summer. You'll be warmly welcome. As always, find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.